appreciate Peter playing the piano this morning and his beautiful music that he shared with us. It reminds me of my boyhood. I grew up in a church that didn't have an organ, so all we had was a piano, and so I appreciate it. But I enjoy the organ too. And I welcome back those who were with us last week, especially those that were visiting. George, Lori, glad to see you here again today. And others that are visiting here today, we are so thankful to have you. As we mentioned to the children, our scripture is from Romans, and we'll be reading that little verse I shared with them from Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, beginning with verse 12. And I'm addressing the subject today of children of God, because that's what we are all are. We're all God's children. That makes us pretty special. We're heirs and joint heirs with Christ. Therefore, brothers, we have an obligation, but it is not to the sinful nature to live according to it. For if you live according to the sinful nature, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live. Because those who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. For you did not receive a spirit that makes you a slave again to fear, but you received the Spirit of sonship. And by Him we I'm getting it again. And by Him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit Himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Now, if we are children, then we are heirs. Heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ, if indeed we share in His sufferings in order that we may also share in His glory. I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. The creation waits in eager expectation for the sons of God, to be revealed. For the creation was subjected to frustration, not by its own choice, but by the will of the one who subjected it in hope. That the creation itself would be liberated from the bondage of decay and brought into the glorious freedom of the children of God. We know that the whole creation has been groaning as in the pains of childbirth right up to the present time. Not only so, but we ourselves, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for our adoption as sons and redemption of our bodies. For this hope we were saved, but hope that is seen is no hope at all. Who hopes for what he already has? But if we hope for what we do not yet have, we wait for it patiently. I'm going to ask you a serious question. Have you ever done anything really foolish? Have you ever done anything that made you feel like an absolute dork, as the kids would say? Welcome to the human race. We're all guilty. You're among family. And I have some good news for you. That's why we're here this morning, isn't it? We want to hear good news. The Word of God is good news. Well, I have some really good news for you. It comes to us from Romans chapter 8, the writings of the Apostle Paul. He tells us that those who are led by the Spirit of God are the sons of God. And we'd like to use a little bit of translation and say children of God. That's what we are. God's children. Will you get it? If you are led by the Spirit of God, that makes you a special person. You are a son or a daughter of God. And even though we may feel like a dork or a nerd or a twerp at times, but if Christ lives within us, the Scripture assures us that we are His children. Now, what does it mean to be children of God? First of all, it means that we can walk with confidence. That makes sense, doesn't it? If we are children of the King, we don't have to feel or fear anybody. We don't have to fear any situation, because we have God as our Father. When Carl Erskine, a former pitcher of the Los Angeles Dodgers, first came to the big leagues, he was asked a question by the owner of the Dodgers at that time, Branch Rickey. And if you're living in Delaware and don't know who Branch Rickey is, I would suggest you go home and do a little bit of research on Branch Rickey. In fact, he spent some time in Delaware himself. But Rickey asked a question of Carl Erskine, "Do you go to church?" And Carl said that he did. And Branch Rickey said, "I ask that question of every young man that I sign to play baseball. The reason that I ask it is that I found if a person will discipline his life to sit in a place of worship and get his spiritual values in place, that person will develop a quiet confidence that he cannot get anywhere else." That's a pretty good summation of what it means to be a Christian and to serve Christ. And we get that confidence that we belong to Him. Paul writes in verse 15, "For you did not receive a spirit that makes you a slave again to fear, but you received the spirit of sonship." When Ernest Hemingway was struggling to make it as an author, he had a stroke of bad luck. He lost his suitcase, which contained all of his manuscripts. All the manuscripts that he had been working on for months and which he had been planning to publish in a book. And he could not conceive of redoing his work. And he shared his predicament with his friend Ezra Pound. And Pound called it a stroke of good fortune, because Pound assured Hemingway that when he rewrote the stories, he would forget the weak parts, that the new version would be much better than the old. And he encouraged Hemingway to start over with a sense of optimism and confidence. And Hemingway did rewrite the stories and eventually became one of the major figures in American literature. All he needed was for someone to tell him that he could do it. For us, sometimes that's all we need in our lives. Our problems seem so large, but our problems are not insurmountable. And all we need is confidence to tackle those problems. All great people have faced times when their confidence waned. We have read much about Abraham Lincoln. Here's a little bit of history I read. It said that when Abraham Lincoln was killed, several items were found in his pockets: an embroidered handkerchief, a watch, and some money. But the most interesting item had been written during a time, it was a ragged copy of a newspaper article. And this newspaper article had been written during a time of great controversy and turmoil in the country. And in the text of that article, the writer extolled Lincoln's virtues, approving of the decisions he had made in office. Now, Lincoln was one of the great men of history. But he needed, as we all need from time to time in our lives, some assurance that we are on the right track and that he was on the right track. We need to know that our lives matter, that we are not hopeless. And the good news for the day is that we are daughters and sons of God, and we can take confidence that we are children of the King, offspring of the Most High. And when someone asks you, who are you? You can tell them, I'm a child of God. I belong to Jesus Christ. Heaven is my home, and I'm going there. Pastor Ron Nail's two sons were approaching graduation from high school. And Mayo began a very special project. He wrote a book for his sons. He filled the pages of this book with expressions of his love for his sons. He shared words of wisdom and guidance about the important things in his life. He wrote about character. He wrote about failure. He wrote about money. He wrote about love. All of those things that are important to each and every person. At their graduation, he presented each son with a leather-bound copy of his book. You see, Ron Mayo had been battling leukemia for years, and he could not guarantee that he would be around to see his sons through these storms of life that would come later in their lives. If they ever needed a glimpse of their father's love for his wisdom, they could turn to his book that he had given them. Now think about this for a moment. In the same way, wouldn't it affect your study of the Bible if you approached it with the knowledge that it was written by a loving Heavenly Father? If you saw the Scripture as words of loving advice and wisdom written especially for you? Well, the good news is it is written especially for you, for each of us. We are God's children. And secondly, we have a great inheritance. Paul writes, the Spirit Himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Now, if we are children, then we are heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ. If indeed we share in His sufferings in order that we may also share in His glory. Paul writes that as one is set free to live in the Spirit, that one has a relationship that is intimate and trusting and good. And the believer becomes a child of God, a brother or sister of Jesus, and therefore equally shares in the riches of the kingdom. In the kingdom of God, inheritance is simple. Those who possess the Spirit of God get it all. All that God has to give. Isn't that good news? It's like the man named Tom Stonehill, who was speeding through town one night looking for a public restroom. Well, unless you find a restaurant or McDonald's or something that's open all night, it's kind of hard to find. Finally, he came to a funeral home. And Tom used the facilities, then paid his respects to the deceased. And the funeral director, spotting Tom, insisted that he sign the guest register. And Tom thought it was a lot of trouble just to sign a book for use in the restroom, but he did it anyway. But a few weeks later, Tom got a call from a lawyer in that small town. It turns out that Tom had visited the funeral home on the night that the town's richest citizen was being laid to rest. And that rich man had no family or friends. And in his will, this man had stipulated that whomever came to his funeral would inherit his fortune. And it would so happen that Tom was the only name on the guest register that night. and he received the full inheritance. The point is, you and I are in that same fortunate situation. All we did was receive Christ into our life. Now everything that God has is ours because he has promised it to us. It's our inheritance. Anne Graham Mott, the daughter of Billy Graham, reports that her house was broken into several years ago, and the robbers took almost everything they had of value. But the night after that break-in, Anne lay awake as fear fell on her from every side. Just as her valuable possessions had been taken, she began to contemplate all the other precious things in her life that she could lose. Through illness or accident, she could lose her children, or even her husband. She could lose her health. She could lose her job. She could lose her finances. She could lose her reputation. And just as her anxiety reached that fever pitch, Anne recalled this verse from 1 Peter 1:4 that says that we have an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade, kept in heaven for you. And with that knowledge, she fell off quickly to sleep, comforted, knowing that she was in God's hands. We are children of God, the Apostle Paul tells us. We can have confidence and we can look forward to an inheritance. And thirdly, just as important, we have a great opportunity. And that opportunity is to make a difference in our world. An opportunity to stand in that long line of saints who have served Christ down through the centuries with dignity and determination, even under tremendous hardship. When you read church history, you read about many who have suffered for Christ. Many who gave their very lives that the gospel might be proclaimed. And Paul writes here, now if we are children, then we are heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ. And then he says, if indeed we share in his sufferings in order that we may also share in his glory. Now, have you ever thought, what does it mean to share in his sufferings? It means that as followers of Christ, we have the opportunity to walk in Christ's footsteps in service to the world. Now, this may not mean that suffering as we generally mean suffering. Let's face it, we live in a great country, we live in a free country, and we may not ever be crucified for following Christ. We may lose our friends, though. We may get thrown out of the country club. We may have to take a stand that we would rather not take. We may even have to put a few more dollars in the offering plate. But suffer? I guess it's how you define that word, suffering. Among those murdered at the Columbine High School shootings was a young Christian student by the name of Rachel Scott. At her funeral service, her pastor shared an excerpt from her diary detailing the sacrifices she made when she became a Christian. And she wrote, I lost all my friends. Now that I have begun to walk my talk, she continued, they make fun of me. And then she goes on to tell how her former friends gossip about her and call her names because of her faith in Christ. And she ends her entry by writing these words, I am not going to apologize for speaking in the name of Christ. If my friends have to become my enemies for me to be with my best friend Jesus, then that's fine with me. Now, when you're a high school student, or even a junior high or elementary, Losing your friends can truly be a source of suffering. And in some cases, of course, it can also be the best thing that ever happened to you. There's a story from many years ago about a missionary who was evangelizing an African tribe. And after months of hard work, 14 men were ready to be baptized. Then the chief stood up and announced, "I forbid these men to come forward for baptism. If they do, by this time tomorrow, they will be dead." Those 14 men stepped aside to speak with one another. And upon their return, they addressed the chief. "We have decided to be baptized. If we die, then we will be with Jesus." But after the baptismal service, the chief came to the missionary secretly and said, "Tell me about this Jesus. His power is greater than mine." You know, to a certain extent, suffering is a state of mind. If you believe that you have moved to something better in your life, if you feel that you have truly moved from a world of darkness to a world of light, then you evaluate such losses in a different way. But that is what it means to say that we are sons and daughters of God. Remember, we can walk with confidence. We can look forward to a great inheritance. And we have the opportunity to walk in the steps of Jesus in service to the world. We are children of God. Praise God. Amen. As we sing our closing hymn, "Blessed Assurance," that is a great confidence to sing that hymn because it tells us who we are. Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of joy divine. If anybody has a spiritual need, I'll be happy to pray with you. I'll be here. Come and share with me your need. Well, if you want to talk to me later, I'll be happy to talk to you then. But remember, God loves you. He sent His Son to die for you. And you are God's child. 317. That's of assurance. Thank you. All hearts clear before we leave. Anything else anybody has to share? Okay, we want to give you an opportunity. Let us receive the benediction. Lord, as we go with a loving Father that we can call Daddy, knowing that He provides for us all of our needs, that He loves us with an everlasting love that cannot be taken away. Lord, help us to live by faith and trust You each day, knowing that we are children of God. Dismiss us from this place as we go, that we might share with others the love of Jesus in our hearts. Until we meet again, we pray in His name. Amen. Thank you.